God is good. Amen. God is good. Praise Him. We've been now for the last several messages, I've been sharing about Jehovah our all. And our theme this year has been joy. And you notice the verse there from Psalms that tells us that in His presence is fullness of joy. And that's something that I'm learning more and more the last while, to come into the presence of God and to just experience His joy and the blessings that He wants to pour out upon us. And so we're looking at seven names of Jehovah and how these describe who our God is, this great God that's good all the time. And we're thinking about how those relate to our lives. So we always ask ourselves some questions. We've done that already. So just the last one that I want to just have us think about there real quick is, what would our lives look like if God really was our all every day? What would that look like in my life? And then we talked about shouting to the Lord. When we see who God is and what He does for us, it makes us just want to shout to Him and praise Him for who He is. The first one we looked at is Jehovah Jireh or Jehovah Jireh. It's the story of Abraham, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. So when he was offering Isaac, and this is about God, my provision. Is God your provision today? Is God still our provision? Amen. He's not only the provision, but He's the provider. He's the provider and the provision. Now, I'll just share a personal story about this. It just happened to me this week. Not this past week, but the week before. I was having a bad week, a real bad week. I was struggling, really struggling. I felt like there was a cloud over me or a net over me, and I was miserable. My joy was gone. I was grouchy with my wife. And last Sunday, I asked the ministry team, I shared this, some of this with them, and I asked them to pray for me when we met together. And I went home last Sunday still struggling with all of that. And Monday morning, I woke up, and the Lord met me there. And He right away took me over to Hebrews chapter 4. And I just want to show you something there that He gave me that was my provision. He says, let us therefore, the last verse, He says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. During the week, there was a number of times where I lay on my face before the Lord, and I cried out to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I don't want to be like this. I need Your help. I need Your strength. Show me, Lord, what's in my heart. What's going on in here? But when He brought me to this verse, I went into the presence of God, and I said, Lord, I need Your mercy. I need grace. And just like that, He poured out His grace upon me and gave me back my joy and gave me a peace and brought deliverance to my heart. And I just want to praise Him this morning. He is our provision. I want us to notice something in that verse. As He did that for me and I went back and looked at that verse, it says that we may obtain mercy. That thought there is that we come and we reach out our hand, He places it in our hand, and we take it with us. We've obtained it. Okay? And then He says that we may find grace to help in time of need. And that's the idea of coming and seeking after it. Matthew chapter 7 uses these same words. Ask and ye shall receive. That's the idea of grace. You may find grace. And seek and ye shall find. That's the idea of obtaining mercy. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. So the Lord is there. He is our provision today. And He longs to be our provision and our provider. All we have to do is come to Him and ask Him. We looked at Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. And I just had shared with us then... I just shared with us when I shared this message, all healing comes from God. There is no healing, whether it's from a doctor, whether it's from medicine or whatever, there is all healing comes from God. He is our healer. And we need to trust Him for that. And I have found in my own life, and this is not a reflection on anyone, but I have found over and over again in my own life, when I trust Him for healing, He brings me healing. And I want to praise Him for that. I could share a number of experiences how He has brought healing. God, my righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. He is our righteousness. And God is made through Jesus Christ. He's made to us righteousness. This is for us today. And so God is our righteousness. God is our peace. Jehovah Shalom. Jesus Christ our peace. He is our peace. Ephesians chapter 4, or chapter 2, verse 14 there. He is our peace. I'll just share a personal experience for this one as well. I didn't share this when I shared that part of the message. When I had gone, I'd gone to the doctor because I was having some trouble with high blood pressure, and I went to him and he did some blood tests and PSA numbers, and I went back to the doctor to get the results, and he told me that my PSA numbers were very high, and I was kind of shocked. I wasn't having any problems or anything. And said I needed to see a urologist. And when I left the doctor's office that day, there was a peace came over my heart that I cannot describe. The Lord put a song in my heart that just blessed me. It's a song about sovereign over us. Even when the enemy comes against us for evil, I'll work it for your good and for my glory. And that song just played in my heart, and I was able to bless the Lord. When I went to the urologist, I was sitting there waiting for the doctor to come in, and the nurse came walking into the room, and she said, "Wow, you sure are relaxed." I wasn't even thinking about it. I was worshiping God. I was focused on God. And His peace was ruling in my heart. He is our peace. On a day-to-day basis, in the situations of life, we're talking about Jehovah God, the I Am, the self-sufficient one, the self-existent one, the one who is above all and over all and through all and in all. He is all. And He is these things for us now, today. He is our peace. The Lord is my shepherd. I just want to go over into Psalm chapter 23, and I want us to just look at that real quickly. David uses Jehovah Ra here. Jehovah Ra is what he says when he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." He's saying, Jehovah Ra. But I want you to notice something. Even though he does not use these other names for Jehovah, David recognizes God, Jehovah, the I Am, the Redeemer. He recognizes him in all of these areas. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God had provided for him. God's his provision. I won't lack. He's my provision. Hallelujah. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He's my peace. I can lie down there. I can rest there. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. He is my righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. And we'll see this one as well. God, You're present. You're here. Your rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David recognizes so clearly Jehovah working in his heart and in his life. The Lord is my shepherd. What does that look like to you today? What does it look like? Do you see yourself as a sheep? As a lamb? And Him caring for you? Or are you out there on your own? Making your own way? Finding your own food? You're the one providing for yourself. You're the one who decides whether you have peace or not. Are you finding Him to be your shepherd? I did an interesting exercise a while back. Sherry and I did it when we were there at Myrtle Beach. Our assignment was to sit down and write out Psalm 23 in our own words. Speaking to the Lord as my shepherd. And just to write that out. And, you know, it was amazing. As I sat down there and I started to write, it was just like my pen just couldn't stop. The Lord is my shepherd. It was just awesome. Wonderful experience. What a blessing to write out, God, You are my shepherd. Such a good, good shepherd. The one who cares for me more than anyone has ever cared or could care. You're only seeking my welfare. That's your only interest in my life, is my welfare, my well-being. You're a good, good shepherd. You are my shepherd. Over in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace, interesting that he ties these two together. The God of peace, Jehovah Shalom and Jehovah Ra, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. He said, I am the good shepherd. Over in John 15, or chapter 10. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Do you appreciate? Do you understand today that God gave His life for you because He wants to shepherd you? He wants you in His fold. He wants to protect you. He wants to direct you. He wants to provide for you. He wants to be your provision and your provider. He wants to be all for you. Jehovah, the mighty God, wants to be that for you and for me today. Now, every moment,
Jesus, the Good Shepherd. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. You were like sheep going astray. Everyone to his own way. Isaiah 53. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. You were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the Shepherd and Bishop of your souls. Are you His sheep today? Have you returned? Are you experiencing the beauty and the glory and the blessing of being a sheep under the Good Shepherd? 1 Peter 5:4. When the Chief Shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. For those who have the job of shepherding, whether it's as a church shepherd, as a family shepherd, whatever kind of shepherding you do, under the Chief Shepherd, remember the Chief Shepherd's coming back. And He's going to reward those who have been faithful shepherds under His direction. Allowed Him to shepherd them in shepherding others. By the way, I just thought of it. David Tripp writes a book called Shepherding Your Child's Heart. It's in our church library. I recommend that book highly. Jehovah Shema. Is God here right now? No? I'm not asking you if you know that. I'm asking you if you know that. Is He here? Do you know that He's here? Do you hear His voice? Do you sense His Spirit working in your heart? Do you know His presence? Jesus said, "My sheep know My voice." They know My voice. Do you know God's voice? Do you hear His voice? God is here. Jehovah Shema. Over in Ezekiel, the last chapter of Ezekiel, chapter 48, Ezekiel's describing this city. He's actually talking about the children of Israel and how they'll be laid out. But if you read Ezekiel 48 there, and then you go over into Revelation, in the last chapters of Revelation, and you read there, you see there's a real similarity. And the interesting thing that I find is this word Jehovah, this name for God, Jehovah Shema, God is here or God is there, is in the last verse. This is how the book of Ezekiel ends. Ezekiel talks about a lot of things. He sees the glory departing from the tabernacle. He sees God bringing a lot of things. He talks about Ichabod. He talks about a lot of things that happen. But the very last verse is, the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. And you go over into Revelation and you read about that city that he describes there, and he says, the Lamb is there. He's there. And then you back up into Hebrews chapter 12, and Hebrews chapter 12 says, we are come to the new Jerusalem, where the Lamb dwells. Not the exact words, but that's the idea. Even now, we have come to that place. What is that city? It's where the Lamb of God dwells. The presence of God is there. Jehovah Shema, the self-existent one, the one who needs nothing else, the one who cannot be given anything, the one who does not go anywhere for wisdom. He does not seek to anyone for guidance, for direction, for help of any kind. He only gives. He's handing out. It all comes from Him. All comes from Him. Life, love, joy. That's what He is. It comes from Him. Because that's who He is. It's who He is. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. If the Spirit of Him, the Lord Jesus, or God the Father, actually, that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, I've reminded you several times lately of Jesus' promise when He left us. What was the last words that Jesus left with us? The last words. Lo, I am with you always. I am Jehovah Shammah. I am with you. I'm the God who is with you. And this has been so interesting to me over the last number of years to notice throughout the Scriptures, Joseph. God was with Joseph in the prison, in Potiphar's house, in the prison, in Pharaoh's house, wherever he was. God was with him. And you start paying attention. God was with this man. God was with this person. God was with them. God was with them. And Jesus says, I am with you always. God with us. Emmanuel. God with us. We're in Christmas time. Emmanuel. God with us. For real. Not just something to talk about. Not just something to know. Something to experience. A reality. Something that happens in our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. This is so precious. This is God speaking through the Apostle Paul. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people with them. Jehovah, the Redeemer God, with us. Is He with you? Do you receive the promise? He's with me. Does it feel like He's with you all the time? No. Does it look like He's with you all the time? If all these things, you know, why do bad things happen to good people? We ask those kind of questions. Well, if God was with us, and Gideon asked this question, the angel came to him and he said, Gideon, God is with you. And Gideon said, well, wait a minute. If God's with me, why are all these things happening? Why are we slaves in bondage? Why are we hiding in order to beat out our wheat and crush our grapes? Why are we doing these things? God was with him. Didn't matter what looked like. It didn't matter what happened around. There's reality. And the reality is not here on this level, but the reality is up here on this level. And that's the real reality. So if we're living in that reality, we can live in Jehovah, the one who provides when we have nothing. He's our provision when we have nothing. Now, I didn't mention when I talked about these missionaries, I've been in a number of their apartments, the places where they live. And most of us would have a bigger barn for our chickens than what they live in. They're not doing anything because they get rich or because they benefit financially. They're living in poverty. But God is their provision. And the faith and the trust that they have just amazes me. God has said, I will dwell in them. I am with you. This is a promise that we can live in no matter what happens around us. And no matter what happens within us, in our body, it is reality. God is with us. Jehovah Shema. God is with us. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. God with us. Emmanuel, Jehovah, Shema. Oh, we forgot. I forgot on the last one to give a shout praise to the Lord. Let's do it here. Let's all together say, God is here, hallelujah. All right? God is here, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The last one of these seven that I want to look at this morning is God, my banner, Jehovah Nissi. This picture is from Exodus chapter 17, where the children of Israel are fighting the Amalekites. And God had given them a promise. He had told Moses that He was going to wipe out the Amalekites. But it wasn't looking too good. Joshua was down there leading the army, and Moses had the rod of God in his hand. We sometimes forget this part of the story. And as Moses held up the rod of God, the children of Israel won. But Moses got, his hand got tired, and so he'd switch hands, and that hand would get tired. Children, I want you to try something. I want you to see how long you can hold your hand up above your head. Okay? Your parents can time you. Just keep them up. That's fine. Just hold them up there and see how long you can hold your hands up. See how soon it takes till you get tired. And this, you don't have anything in your hand. Moses had the rod of God. Don't know how big that was. It was big enough for him to use to walk and to turn into a snake and eat other snakes. What did the rod of God represent?
God's presence.
God's authority. God's power. I suggest that it represented all of these that we've talked about. It represented who God is. Because remember what Moses could do with that rod? He went before Pharaoh and said, God said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, why should I let them go? And the magicians came and their rods became snakes just like Moses' rod. But Moses' rod ate up their rods. And Moses took the rod again, or the snake, and it came back into a rod again. So here he is, he's holding up this rod. This rod is like a banner or like a sign. You hold up this sign that says, our God is with us. Our God is real. Our God is almighty. Our God is our healer. Our God is our peace. Our God is our righteousness. Our God is our provision. And as long as Moses held up that rod, the children of Israel started beating down the Amalekites. But as soon as that banner went down, the Amalekites started beating back the children of Israel. Are your hands getting tired? Well, that wasn't a very long battle yet. And so Aaron and Hur came and held up Moses' hands. Now, just think about this a moment. His arms were tired, but they had to help him hold his hand. You know what happens after you hold something for a while in your hand?
your hand gets tired too. So they didn't, I think Moses or Aaron and Hur actually took hold of Moses' hands. They'd take their hands and put them around his hand and hold that up for, well, how long did their arms last? And so that's why they were both there and Moses was switching hands. So we read it that as long as they held up Moses' hands. Some of you are doing pretty good. God, our banner. When we go out in life, is God our banner? Is He what we hold up? You know what the difference is between pride and humility? Here's one of the ways to tell. If I'm holding up me, that's pride. If I'm holding up God, that's humility. Can't do both. Our hands aren't big enough to do both. And our heart isn't big enough to do both either. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 12, it talks about Jesus. This is a prophecy. Jesus is going to be an ensign for the nations. And that's the same word as banner. It's the same word as Jehovah Nissi. God, our banner. Jesus, our ensign. He's the one that goes before. And He's doing that today in the Muslim world, appearing in dreams to people and saying, I am Issa, the prophet. Follow me. He's that banner going before and lifting up the name of God in front of the world. And as we follow that, God brings glory to Himself. Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? As long as God's rod, Moses' rod that God had blessed, was pointing to God, there was victory. If God be for us, who can be against us? God, our banner. The one who goes before us. When Moses' rod came to the ground and stopped pointing to God, the Amalekites won the victory. Gained the victory. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. No longer are we under this banner of slaves to sin. No longer are we under this banner of hopelessness. No longer are we under this banner of helplessness. No longer are we under those things. We are under the banner of our Lord Jesus Christ, who goes forth conquering and to conquer. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, forever and ever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but when I start thinking about God being all of these things to me, my heart overflows. I just long to lay on my face before Him and just worship, pour out my heart and hear His heart for me and experience His love and experience His presence and experience His joy. And I guarantee you, when He becomes these things to you, your heart will overflow with joy that you just cannot imagine and you cannot contain. It's there. It's real. And it's in His presence. Let's stand together for prayer.
Just going to ask you this morning, if the Spirit has worked in your heart and you just really feel a sense of need, you know that God wants to do something in your heart. He wants to be these things for you. I'm just going to ask you, we're going to pray, we're going to dismiss, and I'm going to ask you to just come spend some time at the altar. We're going to ask everybody to move out right away after dismissal. And I'm just going to ask you to come and spend some time before the Lord and say, Lord, I need you. I want you to be my provision. I want you to be my peace. I want you to be my banner. I want you to be all to me. Show me, Lord. Work in my heart. If that's your desire, just as we dismiss, come to the altar and spend time with the Lord there. Let's pray. God, we thank you. Jehovah, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the great I Am, the one who is above all and in all and through all, the mighty one, the one who is conquering and conquers all, who has conquered death and hell and the grave. And Lord, we thank you that you are Jehovah God, our Redeemer, that you have brought us into your family, and you offer to us yourself. You offer to us who you are. You are our peace. You are our healer. You are our righteousness. You are our provision. You are our banner. You are our present one, the one with us. Oh God, we praise you. We bless you. And we thank you, O Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to just ask those that want to come to the altar and spend some time here. The rest of us, let's just move right out and be quiet as we go. God bless you.